It's time for Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio. A look at real estate and property management in interior Alaska. Alaska Realty Today, brought to you by Next Home Arctic Sun Realty. Now for your hosts, Kirk Maynard and Jamie Napolsky.
Hi, I'm Kirk Maynard, and I don't have Jamie here with me. Poof! She's in Chicago, but I do have three wonderful people with me. If you guys remember, Caitlin Kazi, Tony Brewer, and we have a new person with us. Actually, new to us, but not new to property managers. So we have our three property managers in here today. Do you want to say hi? Quick hi.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth.
Hi, Elizabeth. What's your last name?
Martin.
And what do you do?
I'm a property manager at Next Home Arctic Sun, trying to grow the portfolio, and it's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun serving Fairbanks.
Awesome. Thank you guys for coming in. We haven't done a property management show in a hot second, so we thought it'd be appropriate to get one done, especially since I don't have Jamie here and I need a filler. No, I'm just kidding. So tell me what the market's like. We've gone in the sales side of it. We went from, you know, COVID, crazy COVID, where everybody was, you know, shooting each other to get into a house, to it kind of, the inventory picked up a little bit. It's been kind of moderate, but we had high interest rates. And now we have interest rates down, you know, 5.65, I think it was yesterday I looked. And so a lot of buyers are coming out of the woodwork. So it's picked back up. But what are you guys seeing for vacancies?
Well, I think that we have, well, I think it was kind of a little bit of the same where we didn't have a ton of inventory for the amount of people that were out there, especially larger homes. Those are a little bit harder to come by than, say, an apartment, a two-bedroom, one bath. But I do feel like we're starting to pick up. I've been getting more properties lately, and so I think
I've noticed that.
Yeah, I definitely.
What do you do you guys have a gut on why people are coming? Because it seems like we were pretty steady on inventory for maybe the last year, but I've just seen our portfolios pick back up in the last month or so.
I'm kind of a little bit of the opposite. I am actually a lot of some of my properties, the owners are kind of shifting gears and selling. So
I noticed that last year you guys sold off, you know, chunks of your portfolios.
Yeah, every year there's a good, you know, always, you know, 5 to 6, 7, 10. Just depends, you know, whether they want to go bigger or whether they're just like, hey, I'm wanted to stay in the lower 48.
Move on to new endeavors.
Well, after this last week, there might be more people wanting to put their houses up after Snowpocalypse 2026. Do you guys see people growing their portfolios, investor clients coming on?
I have seen quite a bit of people trying to grow their portfolios investor-wise. It is interesting to see that there are a few larger properties, like 44 plexes on the market right now, that aren't really moving. But with the anticipation of the natural gas pipeline and kind of our economy growing, I do see a lot more movement in those and maybe even more investors coming up here, maybe even from Anchorage outside. I would like to see more local investors kind of dive into those. So I am hopeful with our growth of our economy, a lot more people, there'll be more money flowing, and so more people will be introduced to investing or kind of ramped up on that side of things.
Now, the 44-plex, I know the hospital bought one through our office this last year. I think they... I want to say, for lack of a better word, kicked everybody out.
Yeah.
And I think they were making it for themselves and for their roaming nurses and
exactly. The 65-plex.
Okay.
And it was mainly all one-bedroom, one-bath apartments. And they were slowly, as leases were, this is what I was told, as they were not renewing any of them.
And while I'm on the investor thing, Elizabeth, you do a lot of bigger multiplexes. How many are those usually one bedrooms, two bedrooms?
Traditionally, they're one to two bedrooms. I see a lot more one bedrooms, but I do notice the two bedrooms just fly off the market. You get a lot of long-term tenants in the two bedrooms just because it's usually a bigger enough space for two people or a couple to live if they have a child. But typically, the one bedrooms are great for a couple or a single person. But once you try to go your family, you're kind of stuck. So that's what I've kind of seen, a lot of transition there. But they're one-bedroom units are great because we're a big college community. We have a lot of traveling nurses. We did have a lot of traveling nurses that would stay there. So if we have a lot of people kind of coming up here for seasonal work, those are great units. Or if we have a lot of people kind of moving up here, starting out, and their partners aren't here yet. So I think one.
I was going to say, do you get military?
Yeah, tons of military. And that's always helps fill vacancies as well.
So, and how many plexes you own? A couple multiplex or manage a couple of different multiplexes?
Yeah, so I have 2 to 4-plexes, 1 20-plex, and then we have a few different dry cabins and stuff like that. So we have quite the variety of a portfolio. And you kind of see a variety of people kind of staying in those. And based on location, too, I think location is the biggest thing for a lot of people. Even all the way out to Isles, I think you can't be wrong in location, to be fair, because out if you go out in Eielson or North Pole area, you have all the Air Force Base, military people. If you're more in Fairbanks, then you even have the military and hospital workers and all that stuff. So I think you can't go wrong with investing in Fairbanks. I think everywhere you want to go, you'll have luck.
So what are you guys' hottest renters right now in terms of single-family homes, three bedrooms, two-bath, two-car garage? Is it one-bedroom apartments? Is it?
Well, currently I've been seeing – so my hottest commodities right now are my larger houses. Like I put one up. It was a four-bed, two-and-a-half-bath, two-car garage, and I couldn't keep up with the amount of people that were calling about it. And they were like, gosh, there's not a lot of these that pop up. So as soon as we see a decent one, you know, we're on it. We have a large family and we need to accommodate all of us. And I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. I already have like four pending applications and I don't like to take any more than that because I don't think it's fair, you know. So, but yeah, I for me personally, I think it's been the larger homes that have been flying off the market faster.
Have you cast what the rent rate was on it?
So this particular one was $2,800 a month.
Wow.
Yeah.
So there's a need for that right now.
Yeah. I mean, at least I think there is.
So if you're listening to the show and you have a big house to rent, I didn't know that. That's good to know.
Mine is definitely one bedroom, especially if they're in town, just like you said, for the UAF and then just kind of like the younger people that are just getting out of the home. And then also always single family homes across the board, just because people like their own space and don't like to share walls. But then the third one I think would be in line is side-by-side duplexes.
I was wondering that.
Another one that just I just put one on the market today, and I already have three showings for that, so
yeah.
It went fast.
Can I go on a total tangent for a second?
Yeah.
I don't know why I thought that. I don't know if you said eviction, Elizabeth, or if that word came out of your mouth, or maybe you said something that sounded like it, but I have a question for you. So I have a past client. Maybe you guys know Heinrich. The Norwegian, Liz Telkitna. He helped him evict a person. I guess it's not funny, but it's funny just because she had a big rooster in the house and then she was using a hunting pot and yada, yada. So I helped him help that process along so he could get it all ready and make it rentable again. But he called me last week and he just needed a little help with an eviction down in Talkeetna. And so he's asking me just the process on, okay, what is the process to evict somebody? I need to, you know, they haven't paid. They were supposed to put the power in their name, you know, 8 months ago. They haven't done that. They haven't paid. You know, you got to post a notice to quit basically because they, unless they pay by such and such time, which it wasn't going to happen. And then for somebody who's doing it themselves, I mean, do you recommend that? Can they just take it down to their local, whoever Talkeetna is in, maybe it's.
Well, I know every borough has kind of different rules, especially Anchorage. So if you're trying to evict somebody down there, be sure to not waste your time and go down and ask many questions of the court, or you will make several trips. I was trying to help my brother.
Gotcha.
And that's lessons learned. But here it's fairly easy. Talkeetna, I mean, like I said, you just have to go down and kind of see what their rules are. They may be more lenient than us, and or less than
Anchorage. That's a good point.
Who knows? But here it's pretty easy.
So, and I talked to him about the FED piece of it, where they once you do go to court and you have a court date, and half of it is for the damages of the property, which include, you know, your rents that you're out, and then the other half has to do with actually them getting a writ with law enforcement to get forcibly out of the house if need be by a certain date. But leading up to that process, you post a notice to quit on the door. Does it have to be hand-delivered? Does somebody have to sign for it? Can a 12-year-old sign for it? Do you take a picture of it?
So your first process is, you know, you have your rent that's due. And once it's 1 day past due, for instance, if you are late at midnight on the 5th, you can then post your 7-day notice to quit then on a 6th. And it has to be exactly 7 days and nothing prior. And then once that 7 days hits is when you can actually go down and start your eviction, so your FED, which is forcible eviction detainer. Then you get that signed usually within about 3 or 4 days. The court will assign a court date in which you then have the tenant served.
Okay, what is that process? Do you do it yourself? you get a process server? Do you?
Yes, you do have to get a process server. And after that, and then they get served. Then they have their court date, and then you go to court, and then you have to, you know, come up with your proof. Hey, this is what's due. This is what's going on. So, or this is the reason why. But please note to self that within the 7 days that of the notice to quit, let's say they owe $1,500, and they come in and they give you $50, and you accept that $50, your 7 days starts all over again. So yeah. if they didn't fully pay you, you have to start that process, that 7 days over again. So note to self on that.
Yeah, you just can't accept any partial payment.
Yeah, I was just thinking that, Caitlin.
Yeah, if you're going to go through that process and you want to go through the eviction process, you can't accept any partial payments.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And then, yeah, so you get your court date, and then you sit in front of the judge, and the judge will, they'll try to decide on, you know, when they should leave, or you can, they'll always ask and make sure, like, hey, do you want to do some payment plans? And I'm going to tell you right now, that gets to be a little muddled
that
sometimes.
Seems hairy and dicey.
Then they'll give them, you know, anywhere, this whatever you two decide. Sometimes it could be up to 2 weeks to remove all their belongings. Please note that they already had a week to do that, knowing that they weren't paying. But anyway, once that's done, if you go to their home on that day of that was assigned by the court, I would recommend bringing a person of law. Just in case if you don't think they are gone.
Yeah.
And you
get a writ that says you can do that.
Yes, you get that the day of the court proceeding.
Yeah.
And then you also would go, I bring a locksmith. So that whole process is being done all at once. The police, if they're not gone, are making them leave. And then you have locksmith to change the locks and go from there.
I would bring my pocket attorney Chad with me just to ask any questions. He's got a law degree. Okay, that's a lot. Man, of course I'm biased. I'd love for people to send their business your way because that sounds super complicated, but I wouldn't even, and I'm in real estate and I wouldn't want to manage my own stuff. So, I mean, you guys do so many things. I guess I'm going to go on banter again for why people should come to do professional property management. And I think I told you guys this story, but for the sake of the audience, I had a client, sold him a house. He decided to go off on his own and property manage it. I don't know how many years he's been doing it. Gets a hold of me about getting it listed. Great. I was getting ready to check it out. I sent the photographer over there. He couldn't get in. He couldn't get a hold of the left guy. He had some high-end equipment that he wanted to be there to make sure, blah, blah, blah. Okay, great. We had to wait for him to come back from Anchorage. The right one wouldn't respond anymore. And we're trying to get a key. Finally, his buddy went over there, and the right tenant is a duplex, obviously. Right tenant just boogied. Left town, left all their stuff, left everything in there. And you guys can tell me if this happens daily, never, once in a while. But just booked it. And they also did not have a between-tenant agreement with GVEA. So the power wasn't getting paid, and so the power was off, and it happened to be the side with the boiler in it. So A plus B plus C equals frozen up house. And it's just, I mean, we hear these horror stories all the time, what precautions people could be taking, why we want professional help. You guys go in and inspect properties every 3 or 4 months. You're watching out for people's assets, and it's just devastating when somebody lets that happen. And I don't know if insurance can involve, I don't know if the renters had their own renter's insurance. I don't know if he remembered to put his policy on for his owner's policy. Mm-hmm. But it's just scary crap, and you're dealing with somebody's biggest asset, and just to let it freeze up like that is just, I don't know, to me, horrifying.
Yes.
Do you guys ever come into new clients that have had horrible stories that are like, you know what, I'm out, peace out, I cannot do this on my own anymore, I need professional help?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I get a lot of the, well, I had a friend managing it for me, which technically you're not supposed to do if you're not licensed, but that's not the point. But
another
they
short.
Have somebody watching after the property for them. And then that turns ugly quick, goes south fast, and come to find out that the tenant hadn't been paying rent for 3 or 4 months. And then and then the friend that was watching the property, it's too much for them to take on. And then the owner's not in town, and so they have to try to step in. They don't even really know what's going on. I've had some pretty ugly scenarios where they were like, you know what, we've got to get somebody professional involved in this because they're to the point where they just want to get rid of the property. And I'm like, okay, let's hold on. Let's pump the brakes. What can we do to try to salvage this for you so that you can continue to keep it as an asset?
Exactly what I was thinking, Caitlin.
Because when managed
properly. A producing asset.
Yeah, exactly. Because when managed properly, it can be, you know, a great income producing asset for somebody.
Yeah. Plus, odds are, you know, we didn't used to think this way, but any equity you got on it was just kind of, well, I mean, you have the equity from the buy down from the tenant paying your mortgage, but you know, appreciation was always kind of a, you know, icing on the cake. But we've had so much appreciation in the last 5 years, it's just mm-hmm. it's hard not to factor that in. But yeah, I mean, so it can be a producing asset. So why just dump it because you're frustrated because you didn't use somebody professional? Again, I'm biased. I'm wanting people to listen and come to you guys, but just in general, I mean, it's a real thing. It's
yeah, no, absolutely. Like even myself, my husband and I just bought a house in Florida, and I'm going to have somebody manage it for us because I definitely need boots on the ground. I need somebody there watching after it. I need somebody there that knows the local market. It's just a no-brainer for me.
All right, you guys, I got to take a break. When I come back, I'm going to say I'll tell you guys why AI is not going to take over your job.
Alaska Realty Today with Kirk and Lisa Maynard returns right after this on 97.5 FM KFAR Radio.
Each week, people are saving big time. With the radio station's weekly 50-50 Friday offer, there's simply no better way to promote your business. As our 50-50 Friday promotion airs every hour, every day for a full week on 8 of Fairbanks' most popular radio stations, there's simply no better way to get the word out about your business. So if you have a grand opening plan, maybe a big sale, special event or promotion, or just want to get the word out, this is the best way to let the public know about it. As your business receives more than $10,000 in promotional value over the course of 1 week, with your ads playing constantly, as well as being promoted live by our talented local radio announcers. And the best part, all that it costs you are some gift certificates. It's 50-50 Friday from the radio station, which is why we have local businesses sign up again and again and again. Call us today and tell us you want to promote your business with 50-50 Friday. It's the best way to let Fairbanks know. With the radio station's weekly 50-50 Friday offer, there's simply no better way to promote your business. Period.
Hi, this is Kirk and Lisa Maynard with Next Home Arctic Sun Realty.
We've been handling residential, commercial, and property management in Fairbanks for decades.
And nobody knows the market better.
Selling season is here, and the time to sell your home is now.
Here at Next Home Arctic Sun Realty, we offer exceptional visibility through high-end photography, along with Matterport 3D tours to showcase each home.
And each office is independently owned and operated.
So call us today, 456-4653.
Or online at nexthomearcticsun.com.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m., The Buzz at 11:30, brought to you by the Tanana Herb Company, followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon, Compo's Outdoor Show at 12:30, Fairbanks Foodies at 1 p.m., Explore Fairbanks at 1:30, The Drive with Glacier Garage at 2 p.m., followed by Building Alaska with Jen Solar. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio.
Now, we return to Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio. Brought to you by Next Home Arctic Sun Realty. Now your hosts, Kirk and Lisa Maynard.
Neither one are here. Just me and the girls. Okay, Tony, off the air, we're talking about the FED process, a forcible eviction detainer process. And can you pipe back in there, Tony, on what you were just talking about regarding damages? There's more to the story.
I was just stating, also, just so you know, an owner, so a property manager is great. One, we have all the backup, you know, paperwork. We have proof of, you know, pictures, move-ins. And then, you know, when you see the damage or what's left over, so on and so forth, you know, we're able to get people in there and get quotes and so on, and getting the property back together as fast as we can, right, and get it back on the rental market. So what I was trying to explain to Kirk here is that us as a property manager can't be your lawyer or be you. So you either in court have to represent yourself with me sitting beside you, handing you, hey, here's the tenant ledger. Hey, this is the proof of all the payments. Hey, here's the pictures when they moved in. It was perfect. And, you know, now look at it now. So here, and with that said, or you get a lawyer and then they go from there. But the first three steps are very easy and simple to do ourselves. It's getting the damages is where I would get a lawyer to make sure that that is properly done.
I see. So that's kind of your threshold to, hey, you know what? Yeah. There's damages.
I'll get you to this point, and then
X amount of dollars. You know what? Let's you probably want to get somebody professional in there.
But if the owners aren't in town and they're not here to sign things, if they want us to handle the process for them, we do have to hire a lawyer.
They can actually go on. They can go over the phone too. The first.
Do it telephonically.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I can see that. I was doing grand jury duty, which you heard me talk about forever. we did a lot of telephonically, or if a state trooper was down in Nanana, they're more than 50 miles from the courthouse, so they can do it telephonically, or if we had witnesses, and one of them that he was in New Mexico. So yeah, I can see that being allowable. How often, you guys have been doing this 18 years, how often do you guys run into somebody just not agreeing with those damages, tenant, move out, I'm going to take you guys to court type stuff?
It's kind of hard to beat, you know, anywhere from 200 to 700 pictures in a home.
I was going to say, I'm your guys' broker, and I think I would know about that if you guys were going to court often or ever. And so my answer would be none. It doesn't happen because you guys just do your job up front. You guys video and picture every square inch of every wall and pull out every appliance. I mean, you guys are, I won't say you're crazy people, but you guys are just, you do your job.
No, for sure. And a tenant may disagree, but we have the documentation to back up why we're charging what we're charging if someone's going to move out. Because just like Kirk said, we do a detailed move-in process, which includes, depending on the size of the house, could be anywhere from 300 to 800 photos of every square inch of the property. So that documents the condition upon move-in right there. And then when they move out, we're able to go through and be like, okay, well, this looks like it was damaged. This looks like it was damaged. We can take pictures and we can cross-reference it from what we took during the move-in. So we're usually able to be like, hey, look, here's the photo. It didn't look like that when you moved in. So hence, you know, you are liable for it.
Since I'm on this tangent, what's the biggest misconceptions with owners? Let's think, you know, wear and tear on carpets, and the most misconception with tenants with, hey, I shouldn't have to fix this or do this.
Well, I mean, normal wear and tear is, you know, sometimes I guess there might be a quasi gray area, but I mean, you have a hole in the wall. It wasn't there. You know what I mean? If you're not taking your shoes off and you just ruined my carpet because you just never did, and it wasn't like that at all.
Yeah, you know, Kool-Aid's all over the floor.
Or
that
moved in.
You know what I mean?
You just have to be able to define normal wear and tear.
Yeah,
and yes, exactly. That, like she said, there can be a little bit of a gray area or one opinion versus the other when it comes to those types of things. But, you know, like a scuff on the wall or something to that, I mean, sure. Yeah, absolutely. That's going to be defined as normal wear and tear. A carpet that was already 10 years old when they moved in, and then it's really not in good condition when they move out, that's normal wear and tear. But anything like she's saying, a hole in the wall, that's definitely not normal wear and tear. That's damaged.
Brand new carpet that has Kool-Aid spilled all over it.
Yeah, it was brand new when they moved in. Yeah. That's not normal wear and tear.
Okay.
So.
Right.
So you guys have
pretty
clear definitions. You don't get into too many headbutts with tenants when they're moving out.
No, I mean, we do a little bit, but nothing that you wouldn't expect. You know, just more of a conversation. I shouldn't even say headbutt.
Okay. It's
more
of a conversation. I think this place was cleaner than when I moved in, which I get. If I had a dime for every time, and I'm like, that's not even
that does seem to be one of the biggest things is the cleaning, because everybody has different cleaning standards, and a move-out cleaning is very detailed. It's very thorough. There's a lot of things that have to be cleaned that you wouldn't really normally think about if you were just doing your day-to-day cleaning.
Absolutely.
So that does tend to be one of the biggest areas where we go a little bit of back and forth with the tenants. You know, what I found to be the easiest thing is if the property was professionally cleaned before you moved in, then we can do the professional cleaning when you move out, and then there's no questions.
Yeah. Is that an option? Do you tell it up front? Do they ask you about it?
Oh, it's up front. We make sure that it's in writing and everybody agrees to it, and we show documentation that it was done prior to. Same with the carpets. You know, if the carpets were professionally cleaned and we have documentation of it being done so before they moved in, then we can require them to do the same.
They give you notice, 30 days notice. You guys give them a checklist on, hey, this is kind of our expectations.
Yeah. We
just so there's no surprises at the end.
And it just says, hey, this is our, you know, what we expect, and so on and so forth.
Cleaning guide. Mm-hmm. We have the cleaning guide at the end of the cleaning, and it goes room by room, so they know exactly what we're going to be looking for when it comes to cleaning. At the end of the cleaning guide, it has a recommended list of cleaners that they could call if they do decide they want to hire somebody, because it's a lot to move and clean the property at the same time.
Yeah.
So yes, we definitely have a very clear guide of what we're going to expect during the move-out process.
And a lot of times, too, and just because we do right when, you know, the 30-day notice goes in, we're just like, hey, we're going to put this on the market. We want to get it rented as fast as we can for our owners. And when we're showing it and so on and so forth during that 30-day period, if we're noticing things, because, you know, furniture is starting to become missing and, you know, and so on and so forth, I always just have a straight-up conversation with the tenant right then, right there.
Good.
So they're not getting...
At the end.
And we also, I mean, and sometimes I've noticed things because we do inspections throughout the year. And so we're always putting our eyes on all our properties. And so sometimes I will notice something right then and be like, okay, well, we can address this now, or we can, if it's.
Let's address it now so it doesn't become a problem later.
Oh, that's. I mean, if I was a tenant, I would appreciate that. I'd just rather not get gut punched at the end. Even though I maybe punched myself in the gut, but that's just a lot when you're moving out. All of a sudden, nobody's communicating. Expectations haven't been set. I thought I did what was right, and then find out it wasn't. So it's great you guys are laying out those expectations.
Yes.
When you guys have done your inspections, what are some of the things or the no-nos that you see that aren't supposed to be happening?
Drapes is one of the biggest ones.
So drapes are blinds and drapes over the windows in the cold that cause moisture and cause damage?
Yeah, you can look inside your window and then you're going to see like all the condensation that they're not actually letting them breathe. And so that's a big thing up here. And a lot of times, too, is they buy these beautiful drapes, blackout drapes, and they're nice and thick and heavy and so on and so forth. But they go below the baseboard. And so when you have 40 below weather and your drapes are going from... end to end, the air just flows straight down from your window to that baseboard, and 40 below, it's going to just bust, boom, and they're like, oh, no. So I like to look for stuff like that in my inspections just to make sure we do have it in our lease. But sometimes that they don't pay attention to that as much. So, you know, or suffocating
the baseboards
with your couch or your bed. I had one they had short drapes, but their bed was all the way against the wall, and the drapes hit the bed, so it's same concept. So
same science.
It wasn't a huge damage, but it was, you know, she just ended up not having heat. And so anyway, just small things like that that I'd like to walk around and kind of note and you know, check on and give them.
That's the biggie one you see?
Yeah. Well, and I think it's nice for these inspections, too. Yes, sometimes the tenants think it could be slightly intrusive, but it's a lot of the times it's nice to go there because they're like, oh, by the way, there was this maintenance. There's this thing that I want to show you maintenance-wise that they just, you know, they forget to put the work order in or they don't contact you about. And
or
so
they didn't think it was big enough deal.
They didn't think it was a big deal.
So it could be a positive thing.
Yeah, exactly. And they're like, oh, gosh, I'm glad actually that you came over and we were able to have this conversation. And then we can get these little minute things that have been hanging out and get them fixed.
Now, are they surprised when you just show up, or is it their lease? Are they told ahead of time? Are they?
Oh, no, they get a 2-week notice. So, We give them a 2-week notice heads up, like, hey, we want to come conduct our inspection. We're just letting you know we're going to come on this day at this time. It's typically around a 2-week notice. So it's not like we're just, boom, showing up the next day or knocking at the
door. It's in their lease,
too,
that we're going to show.
It is in the lease.
So you set the expectation ahead of time.
Yes, and you would think people read the lease cover to cover. You would hope they do, but a lot of times there's little details that they forget.
Yeah,
that's fair. Yeah, it is in our lease, but we definitely like to give them, you know, enough heads up notice.
That's good. Mm-hmm. But you guys don't see anything crazy? 5 other extra people moved in. There's a horse or an animal living there. Fish tank wasn't supposed to be there.
I've had a couple instances where there was a pet that wasn't supposed to be there or an extra pet that wasn't supposed to be there, because sometimes tenants say, well, it says it was pets on approval or that pets are allowed. Yes, they're allowed, but you have to let us know and they have to be approved first.
Right.
And then there's a deposit situation that has to happen. So I have run into that.
We all love pets. The four of us are big advocates, but we see the damage they do on properties, including our own and the ones that our owners have. And it's we got to be careful with pets.
For sure.
You guys, I could sit here and do this all day long. If somebody want to get a hold of you guys mind running down the line and just rolling out your name and your phone number again real quick?
Oh, so I'm Tony Brewer, and my number is 907-322-7210.
And I am Caitlin Causey, and my number is 907-687-1701.
And I'm Elizabeth Martin, and my number is 907-687-2193.
You guys are all rad. You guys are very intelligent. You guys are awesome at what you do. Of course, I'm biased because I'm your broker, but you guys are really, really good at what you do. I appreciate you guys coming on the show.
Thank you.
And go enjoy the cold weather.
Thank you.
Have a good one, you guys.
You have been listening to Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio and streaming live at KFARradio.com. To hear this program or past episodes, simply log on to KFAR.com and click the Archives tab to find Alaska Realty Today with Kirk and Lisa Maynard from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty, right here in Fairbanks. This has been a presentation of KFAR Radio, produced by Glenn Anderson, an Last Frontier Media Active production.